Clagatvel, better babes in arms than ye sluggard crew of cockless bastards. Ye're fit only to lick out the gaudy privies, aren't ya?
The high-pitched giggle came from Ryan's right, where he saw the tall figure of crazed Yehu. Water streamed off his tiny cannonball of a head, running into his slack lips.
Good, Captain! Better than a traveling quack show! Give us more of it!
Shut the dullard up!
The man on either side of Yehu nudged him in the ribs, and he closed his mouth again.
I'll say no more. Next time I laughed and you'll be kissing the whip, or I'll find y'all better to kiss than that.
Cyrus Ogg took a hesitant step forward, raising a hand to attract her attention. She beckoned him to her, and he stood close, whispering in her ear. She listened to him, face showing no emotion, though her eyes roamed along the line of men until they settled on Ryan Cotter, where they stayed while the first mate continued talking to her.
Oh, someone's for it.
Standing close to the sailor, Ryan could feel his body begin to tremble. Ryan didn't dare to reply, with the woman's piggy eyes staring at him. Ogg glanced around and then spoke again, using his hands to gesture to something. Something that was down below? He smacked a clenched fist into the palm of his other hand. All the while, Pyrquat's gaze never moved from Ryan's face. The wind seemed to be easing, and the storm was blowing away toward the west. The chem clouds were shifting and breaking, and the spray no longer blew across the deck. A few stray beams of fiery sunlight low on the horizon were breaking through. The first day at sea was nearly over. As Ogg finished speaking to his captain, Ryan wondered whether it would also be his last day at sea. The first mate resumed his position in the front row of men, and Pyrquat stood still a moment, tapping her cane pensively on the deck. Finally, she nodded to herself, as if she'd reached a decision.
I'm told had news. News that is sad for one man of this crew.
She took three steps forward, which brought her close to Ryan.
To one man.
Her cane darted out and pointed.
Outlander Carter.
Ryan didn't move. There was nothing he could do. Nowhere he could go. He felt the short hairs lift at the back of his neck at the chilling malevolence in the woman's crooked smile. The spears of crimson sun struck her face, making it seem as if the filed bone teeth were painted with fresh-spilled blood. The tip of her stick pointed unwaveringly between Ryan's eyes.
Outlander Carter, I have an order for thee.
I'm listening, ma'am.
Good, good, Cully. First mate here, Mr. Ogg, has been telling me of a step across the line. A man doing that which he should not do, and not doing that which he should do.
And there is no health in us. Amen. Ah, women! Ah, there she blows! Hallelujah! And praise the blessed Pyrquat!
Nobody moved or spoke. Ryan could feel a trickle of sweat down the small of his back, though he was stone cold.
Where is Kenny Hill?
Everyone turned and looked along the lines. Ryan and Donphil didn't bother. Since they didn't know who Kenny Hill was or what he looked like, they wouldn't know if he was there or not.
He is not here. Mr. Ogg tells me that the sniveling coward hides in the forecastle, scared to take his place and work with us. A man might die so that Hill can live. I will not have this.
Ryan sensed a murmuring of approval among the crew, and having been aloft in a storm, he realized how one man's desertion could cause the death of another among the singing spars and rigging.
Bring him here, Outlander Carter.
Ryan sensed both her power and her evil. She had deliberately tried to frighten him, and she had succeeded, knowing he would imagine that the warrant for death was his own. His hatred for her grew even stronger at that moment.
Quickly, man, or it'll be the worse for thee.
Aye, ma'am.
Ryan walked quickly to the companionway leading to their living quarters, already finding it easy to balance automatically against the rolling of the vessel. The second mate, Walsh, called after him.
Take a knife, Outlander! Kenny Hill's quick with a blade!
Thou hast just 2 minutes, Outlander! Then I come down and ye're both done!
The low-ceilinged forecastle was cluttered with bedding and discarded clothes. A single oil lamp turned on gimbals in the middle of the room, and at first glance, Ryan couldn't see anyone.
Hill?
No answer. Ryan took his feet off the bottom step and looked more carefully. If the sailor had really taken refuge down here, then there weren't many places for him to be hiding.
Don't fuck around with me, Hill. She'll use this to chill us both.
Don't want to die.
Nobody does.
Now that he'd heard the voice, he'd also spotted where the man was lurking, in the corner behind one of the tables. Ryan wasn't sure, but he thought he detected the gold gleam of light off the steel of a knife.
She'll kill me. I was frightened. Been aloft too many times and too many storms. Wanted to jump ship this time, but she wouldn't let me. Had me down there, chained, all the time in Claggettville. Help me. Thou art an outlander. She won't kill thee.
No, I'm her friend, Hill. She said to tell you not to worry. Come up and she'll tell you yourself.
Liar!
Ryan heard the haunted tone of someone who knew the words were lies, but desperately wanted to think that they weren't.
Double truth.
No!
Time was passing. Ryan could hear it with a beating of the pulse in his own skull.
I'm telling you the truth. On my brother's life.
Such as it had been.
Trust me, Hill. What do you have to lose? Nothing.
I'll slit thy throat if thou liest to me, outlander. I swear I will.
I got no blade.
He held his arms spread out sideways, fingers wide. Ryan's eyes were accustomed to the poor light, and he walked across the forecastle, reaching out with his right hand in a gesture that was transparently friendly. He stooped toward the crouched figure of Kenny Hill.
Thou wilt not betray me, outlander! Not to that woman!
Come on.
The sailor held a narrow-bladed dagger in his right hand, and he reached out trustingly with his other hand to grasp Ryan's fingers. Immediately, Ryan pulled him up, with a great burst of convulsive strength. Fending off the knife with his other hand, he dropped his face and butted Hill across the bridge of the nose. Then Ryan jerked his knee hard into the man's groin.
Get up, you cowardly little bastard.
Ryan hefted him to his feet, lifting him across his own shoulders. He carried him up the swaying ladder, ignoring the crack as Hill's head struck the ceiling. Blood was gushing from the broken nose, puddling on the steps. As Ryan emerged onto the deck, Piraquad was near the hatch.
Thou hast a minute left and... Oh!
The warning died in her throat as Ryan appeared with Hill slung over his back.
Dump the awful there and get in line, outlander Carter.
Ryan genuinely couldn't tell whether the woman was pleased to see him alive or not. He joined Donphil and Johnny. The Apache looked quizzically at him.
I had no choice.
Quad had the semi-conscious man stripped by a couple of the other hands and bound to the foot of the mainmast. Ryan noticed that there were a couple of iron ring bolts set into the decking, in just the right positions to shackle a man's ankles, forcing his legs spread wide. Hill's arms were tied behind him. Then a length of rope was wound clear around the mast and knotted. Another cord was pulled tight around his neck, keeping him upright, preventing him from wriggling free. Captain Quad stood near the sailors who were tying Hill, but she didn't seem to give them any other orders. It was as though they knew how to tie the prisoner, because they'd done it often enough before. That was a cold thought. The light was fading fast now, even though the